This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Our guest today is Vicki Thorne. She is the founder of Project Rachel, and that website is hopeafterabortion.com. She also founded in 1990 the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, and that website is NOPARH.org. And we were talking about daycare, and when children are in their formative years, and I figure that's up to the time that they go to first grade or kindergarten.
But
what happens if the mother has a profession and she just has this child, and in 6 weeks she takes it to a daycare center and then picks it up at night when she's tired after working all day? This can have some very, very devastating effects for the child.
Yeah, you know, it really does. And there are things we don't think about, you know, because we talk about, language comes sooner and, you know, whatever, learning, blah, blah, blah. But what we're ignoring are the sort of the personal connection issues, okay? Think about this. If I'm a caregiver and I have four babies who are basically the same age, there is no time to play with them. By the time I feed them, burp them, soothe them, we're done, okay? And as a child, I learned that I need to cry to get attention, because if I'm being cared for by someone who's bonded to me, if I'm laughing and smiling, I am getting attention, okay? We humans are hardwired to use what's called parentese when we talk to a baby. And you'll hear it. You know, it's the high pitch. Aren't you so cute? You're such a sweetie. Did you hear the birdie? That type of language helps them to learn language as well, okay? The other piece here is, so now we have four children to one care provider. The other thing is, these children are not learning the scent of their mother. This has to do with pheromones later on in life in terms of relationships. Now I'm a toddler, and now I'm in a little herd of toddlers, and there's several people who care for us, and they change from day to day. And I'm not able to get my needs met in this sort of setting, because I am being taught to be peer-driven, okay? In this setting, snack time is at 10:30. And I don't care if you didn't get breakfast this morning. If I give you a snack, I have set off chaos amongst all the other little toddler people, okay? If I'm in someone's home, I can ask and I can negotiate, and maybe even 5 minutes before lunch I can get half a cracker, okay? I was heard, and I learned about negotiation. I'm tired, and nap time is at 1:30. I cannot simply fall asleep, because my falling asleep in this setting with the other children is going to create chaos. Someone might step on me. We have activities planned. I can't be watching the child that's sleeping and caring for the other ones. And then the other piece is, I can't necessarily keep myself safe. And this is the case that, you know, yesterday Johnny slugged me with the truck. It's my opinion that Johnny's dangerous to my health and well-being. But the people who are here today do not know that Johnny slugged me yesterday. And so, what am I told? Play with Johnny. This means that as I'm growing up, this ability to, one, know somebody would hear me, and secondly, to keep myself safe, to be able to report, to make choices and judgment, can be severely altered, okay? If everybody's having sex, I guess I should be having sex. You know, people are doing drugs, I guess I should be doing that, because that's what my peer group is doing. And so this is the emotional side of that nobody really talks about. And we need to talk about it, because so many of our children are in those settings. We could offer alternatives in terms of whether it's through our community, through a congregation, of if there was a mom who wanted to stay home, I'd be willing to bet there'd be two, three other mothers who would be happy to have her be the caregiver. That's a different sort of setting, because of consistency, because of somebody who has time to pay attention to you.
Right.
We have to
this
be
more
creative.
This is very interesting. We do have to take a real quick break. We will be right back in 3 minutes, and we'll pick this up on the other side.
Right. Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival competent. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. G-E-O-F-F-L-A-W-T-O-N.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are: incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Our guest today is Vicki Thorne. She is the founder of Project Rachel, whose website is hopeafterabortion.com, and the founder of National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, founded in 1990. That website is NOPARH.org, and we're talking about children. And I was thinking about children in an orphanage who have little more than their basic needs met. Maybe the bottles are propped or something like that, when they don't have that physical touch. They don't have the ability to connect later on, I think. And this is all very, very important. And you implied that if we are in a herd from the time that we're born to a working mother and we just get dropped off at some daycare center, then we're going to develop a herd mentality and fail to develop individuality and learn to think outside of the box and to not adopt some of the negative herd mentality behaviors.
Yeah. Well, and see, this is a serious issue. The other thing is that the number of losses these children have, which we don't realize, okay, I really love that one woman at the daycare center. I'm really bonded to her. And then she's gone. You know, we keep talking about how resilient children are. And the reality is the children do grieve, and we just don't recognize it. And the first thing that they do is they protest. And then the second thing they do is they despair. And then the third thing they do is they detach. And then they don't connect anymore. And I think that we have many young people who are in that detached mode, again, because of the losses. I lost that kid who was like my brother, and then this woman I love doesn't come anymore. Again, the recognition that children are very fragile, okay, and that there are many things that can impact them in ways that we don't even recognize. And I think we have to talk about it. I mean, again, it's politically incorrect, but, you know, the other pieces of this are, okay, how am I being cared for in this center? When you look at the statistics, you see that there's a clear, you know, from superior to inferior, all right? If we're using, for instance, television as a babysitter, you know, we know that children who watch TV between ages of 1 and 3 have a significantly increased risk of developing attentional problems by age 7. Well, we certainly do have a lot of kids that have some kind of attentional problems going on.
And, oh, I'll say.
Okay, so what's that about? And the other thing is that, you know, the recognition also that boys and girls are really, again, politically incorrect, you know, warning to the listeners, they're made differently from the get-go, and the brain works in a different fashion. And, you know, part of what I think goes on also in classrooms where we're saying boys are attention deficit disordered is that we may not be appreciating that boys function differently. They have trouble sometimes hearing women's voices if they're in the back of the room. They can follow one command at a time. You know, our classrooms in many respects are female-driven. You know, lots of instructions, take out your pen and paper, your pencil, and put your name on the paper. Well, the boys get to the paper, and now their creativity is just surging. You know, can this be an airplane? Could this be a drawing? Could this be spitballs? Girls, we march, okay? We fill in the places there. But again, that sense, the other thing back to daycare for a moment is that, you know, I'm not allowed to take calculated risks in those sorts of settings. In the old days, we kids, if someone was watching us, we still could play outside, okay? And we climbed trees, or we made, you know, racers out of junk, or we made a hut out of junk. You know, think about the days when a kid could climb a tree without a helmet and knee pads and elbow pads, and a kid might fall out of the tree. And what do the parents say? Be more careful next time. You know, take them in, get a cast if the arm is broken. Kid comes home, first thing he does is try the tree again, but he can't do it with his cast on. Cast comes off right to the top of that tree with a mental note not to step on that branch. Now, what I learned in that is that there are risks to be taken. I can survive adverse activities, and I learn something from them. But when I am in a cocoon, I don't get that opportunity. And you see college students, my husband teaches at a university, who are really very frightened in a strange environment, and they are connected at the hip to their parents with their cell phone. You know, I mean, they check what class should I take, you know, constant reports. Well, part of maturing is the ability to be able to make decisions and to live with the consequences of what those decisions are. But we haven't had that experience. You know, we are really, really, again, cocooned. We're cocooned in a daycare because, good heavens, we have to be careful that nothing happens. We don't have playtime at home, which is just the sort of creative go outside, ride your bike without, again, knee pads and helmets and all that. Where we used to learn some things about how the world worked and how people worked and those sorts of spontaneous play activity has been lost in many ways. You know, we're living in an incredibly busy world. You know, we have to be up by 6 to get to the daycare by 7 to get at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe 5 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock, just in time to have a meal and bathed and put to bed. That's stressful for us adults, not to mention kids. You know, where do we learn how to be quiet? How do we learn where to be reflective? How do we learn to keep ourselves entertained? You know, those are all serious questions and things that have changed in our society in very significant ways.
Right. And you brought up the ADHD. And that just might be normal for boys. I know
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
boys are different. And they don't think the same. And I think that boys are more, they say, oh, well, they're more vulnerable to ADHD. Well, maybe that's just the way that they're hardwired.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, you know, being politically incorrect, but males are linear thinkers for the most part. There's a continuum. Some men are multitaskers, but many of them are linear thinkers. We women, for the most part, are multitaskers, but some of us are linear thinkers. But when I'm a linear thinker, I have an incredible ability to stay focused, but just on one thing. We women have the ability to be focused on many things at the same time. It's a difference in hard wiring. There's, you know, a writer by the name of Leonard Sachs has written several books on the difference between girls and boys. And it's valuable for us, I think, as parents or as educators, to simply read the book because it sort of shifts this mindset of everybody being the same. You know, we should be able to put everybody in the same setting and they'll all do well. And the reality of the fact is that might not be the case. You know, I grew up at a time educated by Catholic sisters. They knew the boys were different. The boys sat in the front of the room, okay? You know, the girls were in the back. And there was this awareness that boys would do silly things. Girls did different sorts of silly things. But that awareness that there was a difference there has, I think, now been lost in many respects. There's a principal out in California who I met at something I was at, and he has a school that's kindergarten to 12th grade, and there are boy rooms and there are girl rooms. And the education that goes on in the male room is very different. They're allowed to move around more. There's a lot more hands-on sort of activity. You know, girls do better in the sort of standard classroom. But these two male and female types of education are specifically designed to meet the needs of boys and of girls. And they're very successful.
I sometimes think that they're trying to make everybody the same, to have everybody respond the same way.
It's the gender neutrality push. You know, I came to the conclusion, this wasn't very long ago, that, you know, gender neutrality is really about neutralizing the genders. And the awareness that people do respond differently. Our kids are of the age when this was first coming online. Okay. And so the suggestion was that girls should get trucks. And all four of our daughters got trucks. And I'll tell you what every one of them did. They got their baby blanket. They wrapped the truck. They gave it a name. They had naps and parties. Okay, seriously, every one of them. And there's quite a distance between them, all right? So our two sons, who are 8 years apart, both got dolls because that was the suggestion. So the first son, number one, discovered that the doll made a great football. It never got a name, it never got a nap, it never got a party, and he and the kid down the block wore it on about two weeks before the doll was in such bad shape it had to go in the junk. You know, and our second son came along and he had a doll, and it was a buddy doll, and some people will remember buddy dolls. They're boy dolls, they got coveralls and tools, and son number one, we were at a grocery store one morning, and it only came up a few years ago that this had happened, but son number one decided they should play a game, and it was called Sacrifice the Buddy Doll. Now, that's not a girl game, okay? I mean, it's a totally different sort of activity. But we need to recognize, even in the monkey kingdom where they've done research on this, okay, males and females gave them a pile of toys all mixed together. Okay, and we had distinctly boy toys in there, blue things, balls, trucks that moved, and girl things that we would identify as, you know, girls' cuddly things and those sorts of things. The monkeys made distinctions about what their preference was for what type of toy. So there is this sort of awareness in terms of, I don't know what it's all about, but we come, I think, with some preferences built in. Our brains are hardwired differently very early on, and people, you know, there's a book called Pink Brain, Blue Brain. You know, she acknowledges the differences, but tends to dismiss them and say, well, they're not very significant. Well, you don't have to have something that's enormous to be significant in terms of how we view the world. You know, boys, there's a testosterone hierarchy amongst males, and so the pushing and shoving we see in little boys, which may make us crazy, is actually them working out who's the dominant male in terms of testosterone. And males, as they get older, get testosterone just by being with other males, all right? Being with women does not do the same thing for them. We women get oxytocin and are calmed by being with other women. Those are some very basic chemical sort of responses, and they're different.
Exactly. Oh, this is very fascinating. All righty, we're going to a break. We will be right back. And if you'd like to call in and ask a question or make a comment, that number is 800-313-9443. Be right back.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA survival course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with 5 other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Vicki Thorne. She is the founder of Project Rachel. That website is hopeafterabortion.com. And she also founded the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing in 1990. And that website is noparh.org. And we will take your calls at 800-313-9443. And we were talking about gender-specific activities. And I think that that the genders put an awful lot of pressure on each other. For instance, there's a conversation going on in the chat room right now about women think that they have to be thin, that they have to meet some sort of standard set upon them by somebody else, whether it's a boyfriend or other women. And then we have women in the military, and I think, my gosh, you know, this is so not correct to have people, women who are not designed to go out and do some of the things that they're expected to do, and yet for some reason they are trying to do that. Is it pressure from someone else, or self-pressure, or what's going on here?
Well, it's also societal pressure. It's back to the gender neutrality thing. So mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm female or male, you know, as long as I'm strong enough. I mean, think about the differential in terms of male-female size. The mere question when this was going on about women being in active duty zones, you know, is she strong enough to carry out a male who weighs 200 pounds? Question mark. All right. I know that that's the requirement. You know, you have to be able to do this. Just this week, I had a conversation with someone who works, and it was an accidental conversation, but it was very enlightening. She works at a VA center, and she works in the Returning Women Veteran Center. And she talked about the fact that one of their major issues is sexual trauma. So we've got rape going on. We've got probably abortions going on. To put men and women into combat together creates another set of tensions on both sides that I think put both parties at risk. And nobody's talking about that one. And I think that's a huge issue.
Indeed. And I think that there probably are office positions that women could hold, but when they're talking about combat duty and yeah. being together under a very, very stressful situation, mm-hmm. I can see that men being very angry would take that anger out on the people that he's serving with.
Yeah. Well, and certainly potentially. And we also have the chemistry of men and women being in the same setting, okay? What's that about? You know, I'm craving intimacy. I'm craving connection to somebody. The military is an incredibly difficult, challenging place to be. And I don't see that we're really having the sort of conversations here that we need to have. I think there are many positions women can fill in the military in terms of communications and other things like that, but is it best to put her into those combat zones? Again, there's just all these differences there. And again, politically incorrect though it may seem, I have some serious questions about it.
I also have some serious reservations about even having women in the military because typically, you're going to have a predominance of men, and when you are stationed on any kind of a military base, there's probably going to be 100 men to every one woman.
Absolutely.
Or perhaps it's, you know, the figure is different. But that, I just think that that is an unnatural setting for women to be in. I really
do. Well, and it's, you know, the question of men getting more testosterone from each other. And women needing other women, just in terms of body chemistry, that's not happening, again, because of those sorts of the tipping of the numbers, you know. And what does that do? Question mark. I don't have an answer for that, but I think there are some very serious questions there.
Right. And definitely women do need other women. You certainly can't talk to your husband about a number of issues because men have a tendency to want to solve your problems.
Yes, they want to fix it, yeah.
They just want to fix everything. And when a woman is just talking, just to kind of sort things out, not to get any kind of solution, but just to be sharing common concerns, and a man right away, that they want to fix it.
Of course. But that's, again, that's that difference in how we're wired. There's a series of books done by a couple from Australia, and the last name is Pease, P-E-A-F-E, Ellen and Barbara, I think. And they have done the most awesome job with these books in terms of talking from an anthropological, sociological, biological, psychological perspective on the difference between men and women. And, you know, for us to appreciate that, men do want to fix it for us. It's very hard for them to disengage that desire to fix it. We women need to understand that when our partner, our husband, is reading the newspaper and we talk to him, he can't hear us. The part of the brain where hearing is not working right, okay? There are just these very innate differences. Men, we say to men, when we say to men, tell us how you feel. We have to recognize that the part where men's emotion sits is in another part of the brain than ours, okay? Our language and our emotions sit close to each other, kind of scattered around our brain. That means we talk and emote at the same time. I mean, we don't even think about it, okay? But for men, they have to literally stop, think about it, because they have to go access what's going on and then be able to come back and talk about it.
Right.
I think if couples understood that about each other just to begin with, it would make an enormous difference.
Oh, exactly. All righty, we're going to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back, and we will take your calls at 800-313-9443. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Vicki Thorne. The websites are hopeafterabortion.com and the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, and that website is NOPARH. And we were talking about the difference between men and women, and there's and during the break I was thinking, well, what does this say about gay marriage and gay relationships? When people make sexuality the entire basis for their relationship, how do they meet other needs that we all have? I mean, that's kind of a crazy thing.
Well, see, and there's so much we don't know about that, okay? I mean, even in terms of let's talk about children in those settings. You know, if I'm a girl, I need my mother in the household or women who help to set my biological cycle. Okay, we women cycle together, all right? If I'm a boy and I need my biological father present to get my testosterone where it's supposed to be, if my father is not present or another significant adult male, what happens is my testosterone is too high as an adolescent and it's lower than normal as an adult. Well, that throws all kinds of things askew, all right? If I don't have a male when I'm a girl, all right, if my biological father is missing when I'm coming into the time when I reach sexual maturity and get my period, if my father is present, he slows down that a little bit, all right? if there's a strange male who is not my biological father involved, he speeds it up. Now, that makes this girl more vulnerable. There are so many questions in terms of those sorts of relationships that are unanswered from what we do know, okay, standing on this side. There are just multiple levels of questions that they're still not answered. You know, the reproductive technology issue, you know, some of these children that are coming into those relationships are being produced by surrogate mothers. Well, what does that mean in terms of if I'm a surrogate mother, I cannot use my own ovum in most places because it's outlawed. I get too attached. And I have sperm from a male I've not had sex with, which means it sets off some of my autoimmune issues, and so does the ovum from a strange person. I am now going to carry a child, which is conceived in a petri dish. And in the human body, sperm has to be changed. For 5 hours, it rests in the woman's body and undergoes something called capacitation, which means it's now possible to enter the egg. And the ovum is what picks the sperm. Of all the sperm that get there, the ovum and the sperm are in communication, and it picks one. So in a petri dish, the doctor is picking the sperm. It needs to be injected into the ovum. We're missing the chemistry that goes on in the human body in the case of normal, natural conception. And now this is being implanted into this woman. We women carry cells from every child we ever conceive the rest of our lives, it appears, and the child carries cells from us. And we women pass those cells on to any other children we might conceive after that. There are issues here in terms of autoimmune diseases and some other things that are very, very significant. And the question of who am I? Everybody in the world carries the mitochondria of their mothers. This is the work of Brian Sykes, who wrote The Seven Daughters of Eve and Adam's Curse. Back eons and eons and eons, okay, to seven groups of women. And National Geographic would be happy to take some of your money. They'll send you a little swab, and you just send them a cheek sample of cells, and they'll tell you which of the seven lines of women you came from. And for men, not only do they carry their mother's mitochondria, those are the energy bodies in our cells, their why is their father's 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 why. And there are little subgroups in there. For instance, in the Jewish community with the tradition of the priestly caste, there is a marker for that. When they look at the Y, they know who are descendants of that. And you find it, interestingly, in the Lemba tribe in Africa and the Igbo tribe in Nigeria, both of whom traditionally believe they are descendants of some of the lost tribes of Israel. Okay? So this question of who am I, where did I come from, I think also becomes a significant issue, you know, on many counts here. And we don't talk about those things. You know, if we can do it, we should do it, and it must be awesome and wonderful. But we don't look at some of the long-term consequences here, and I think there's a number of them bioethically that are almost so complex we can't even talk about them.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, we do have some callers lining up. Let's take Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. Great show. Hello, Vicki.
Hi.
Back to the chemistry of the birth control pill.
Yep.
Does it, now, I never took the pill. Does it make your body think you're already pregnant? And
yeah.
What, does it do that with estrogen, or how does it do that?
Well, it's the chemistry that's there, in part because it suppresses ovulation. So if my ovulation is suppressed, my body would think it was pregnant. And what's interesting is that there's some research that indicates that males would perceive when we are not fertile, and they might lose interest in us as well. I mean, this is the work of a man by the name of Lionel Tiger. But the awareness that that's what happens, it suppresses that, and then it changes our preference for a male to someone who is more like our father or our brother in terms of the autoimmune system, probably in part because our body is looking for a protector at that moment and not a mate. I mean, there's still tons of stuff to be learned, but what's out there is pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's just that I'm not sure why I thought that as far as the estrogen, but...
Well, it's a combination. There are some that are predominantly estrogen, but they have what are called the multiphasic pills, because too much estrogen is what really throws us into that blood clotting issue.
Right. And so see, there's this pharmacist I listen to that I've learned a lot about, and you know, he says women have been fooled to think estrogen is just a female hormone, and that is wrong. He says it's actually a stress hormone.
It is a stress. Yeah, it's one of those. And, you know, our bodies are designed to be in perfect balance, okay, so that we have enough estrogen to do what it needs to do. But we also know that the pill, according to the World Health Organization, is a type 1 carcinogen. It causes cancer. I mean, if the World Health Organization has named it as such. And it's because too much estrogen can also cause cancer. And so we've got levels of things going on here that are really pretty scary.
Okay. Well, this is great. Thanks, Deanna.
Bye.
Thank you, Sherry. All righty. If you have a question or would like to make a comment, that telephone number is 800-313-9443. And, my goodness, it's just amazing some of these things that we just never think about.
No. And well, why would we think about them? You know, where would we see something that would cause us to think about them?
Exactly. But the issues that you brought up with same-sex marriage and some of the other things, and yet we have this legalized in many states, have legalized this.
Yeah.
Just as they legalized abortion back in 1973, and people say, oh, well, okay, as long as it's legal, then it must be okay, without thinking... of any of the moral issues, the emotional issues,
or the cellular issue that I just brought up. You know, it is impossible for a woman to forget the children she has conceived, whether they are born or lost, miscarriage or abortion, because we can extract the cells of these children from women by 4 weeks after conception, and they're probably present sooner, but that's when we started looking. So that's long before abortions happen in most cases, because I haven't even confirmed that I've really, you know, missed my period consistently.
Right.
And so there's biological knowledge. And I pass those cells on to my other offspring. They have biological knowledge that someone's missing in the family. I mean, it's an incredibly complex system.
Indeed.
And again, where do we hear that? You know, who tells us that?
Right. And also, we wanted to talk a little bit about divorce. And divorce is one of the most stressful things to go through. And I think for children particularly. And, recently I heard about an issue called parental alienation, where if there is a divorce in the family, that oftentimes one spouse will just absolutely vilify the other spouse to the point that the children will be so confused and traumatized that they never actually get over that. For instance, if the mother has custodial care of the children, and then what if that mother remarries? Well, and then all of a sudden the father is out of the picture completely, and yet, you know, he might be the innocent party.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even if he isn't, okay, one of the things that happens in a divorce is that I lose my history. I lose my family. I thought my parents loved each other, that I was conceived in this, you know, in this marriage, and now it's gone. And I lose many times the other significant people in my life. You know, if there's a great deal of animosity between mom and dad, whichever custodial parent has me, I may not be seeing grandma on the other side, grandma was so significant to me. There's a very sad Dear Abby column that I had cut out, and it was a young woman who said, my mother divorced my father, remarried another man who also had a daughter. We have become sisters. And she said, now they're getting a divorce, and we're forbidden to speak to each other. And we're sneaking because we miss each other. You know, what should I do? She was 15 years old. How sad is that? Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the work of Judith Wallerstein and Sandra Blakesley have really looked at some of the adult children. They followed the same people for 25 years. There's a book called The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce, which is very telling in terms of many of those long-term sort of consequences. Again, we say children are so resilient. They'll be just fine. And the reality is that there are just footprints all over here in terms of spiritual issues, psychology. I was part of a conference about a year and a half ago on the adult children of divorce. Who talks about them? You know, they're afraid of marriage. They many times will cohabit because they're afraid of a commitment. The reality is that cohabiting hurts as much when you break up, okay? But it's this mindset that there isn't this legal binding event. The children of divorce talk about the fact that they don't have a checklist in their head of what they're looking for in a partner. They just want somebody to be nice to them. The children who come out of intact families, even screwy ones, all right, have a checklist. And they sort of hold people up against it. You know, I like this about him. He's kind of like my dad. I like that about my dad. Yeah, there's this thing that's kind of more like my mom. That makes me crazy. I got to figure out, you know, can I balance this in terms of caring about this person? There are just layers upon layers upon layers of issues, and so many of our young people have been through multiple divorces. You know, mom remarries, that increases the chance of another divorce, and this breakdown in systems is enormous.
Exactly. I'm aware of this one couple. They were together for about 13 years, and then they got a divorce. The mother remarried within 6 weeks. The children were told that the father did not pay child support, and for a period of 5 to 6 years, they discouraged the children from seeing the father. The new husband was very insecure and, you know, hated to think that he followed along after some other man, and so he just really vilified this father. And these girls, they're two siblings, the girls simply are just kind of, well, they're messed up because they believed what the new husband said, what the stepfather said, and the mother went along with the stepfather, and I think that they're both going to have a terrible time in relationships, and it's a very sad thing.
It is, and there's somebody in our extended family that her mother has been divorced 4 times, and her mother abandoned her to a stepfather in the second relationship for years. Okay, married someone we knew who, you know, encouraged her to re-cement the relationship with her mother because they'd been alienated, and they talked about divorce. I mean, you know, and she said, "I would never, ever, ever do that. I would never do that. It's too painful." And lo and behold, about 3 years ago, she said to her husband, "I want a divorce because I'll be a better mother if I don't have the children all the time." Now, this has devastated the husband. She's got a new boyfriend, but she's not married. But I'm willing to bet that she's the same age that her mother was when her mother abandoned her. I'm just willing to bet that she's never been to therapy. And so we tend to recapitulate those old traumas, not consciously, but unconsciously, making sense out of them.
And that's where their model comes from.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Even if they know it was a negative experience for them, that's still what they learn to do. They learn how to cope with the stress by, let's just get a divorce. Let's not work things out. Let's just get a divorce.
Yeah. And see, the other question is, you know, we don't have the people who in the past might have companioned us, meaning grandma or an aunt. You know, maybe our marriage was in trouble. And in the old days, Aunt Susie had permission to say to you, you know, I think you and John are having a problem. Uncle Sam and I had that same kind of problem, and, you know, we did X, Y, and Z, and it worked. We don't have anybody who sees when our marriages are crumbling anymore and who can give us the kind of emotional support and wisdom that we need to try and work our way through it. We are doing this in a vacuum in so many cases. You know, it's bad. We don't know who to talk to, so we'll just get a divorce.
Right.
And many of those marriages, I believe, could have been saved with good, supportive, you know, people and environment for them.
Exactly.
You know, there are couple retreat sort of things. One's called Retrovite, specifically for couples who think they're at their wit's end and are with other couples who've been to their wit's end and come back. But people don't know those resources are out there, and it's just so, so sad.
It is. It's very sad. Very sad for the children. Very, very sad for everyone.
Yeah.
Let's take another phone call. Let's take Kara in Colorado. Kara, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Hey, I'm really appreciating the interesting information your guest has on today. But she was talking about the certain ethnic groups that were claiming DNA connections with certain, well, they had certain claims about their heritage. And I just wanted to point everyone to a recent article that just came out in December on Press TV, where Dr. Eliak turned all the Jewish genome project upside down on its head and claimed that it was all, he established it was pretty much fraud, that they had.
Alrighty, we are going to a break. Thank you so much. We will be right back in 3 minutes. Carrie, you're welcome to stay over. We'll be right back.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to zerodebtguaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements, made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Deanna, our guest today has been Vicki Thorne. She is the founder of Project Rachel, whose website is hopeafterabortion.com, and she also founded in 1990 the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, and that website is NOPARH.org. And Carrie, you mentioned a recent article on Veterans Today about the genetic composition of the Jewish race, which I think is very interesting, but I'm not certain that it's applicable to what we are discussing today with the with the traumas of divorce and that kind of thing. But it is very interesting, and I thank you for your call. All righty. Some things that you want us to know. We've got about 3 minutes. 2 minutes.
Oh, 3 minutes. Well, you know, there's a ton of stuff we didn't talk about. But what I want to say, you know, maybe we can do another show and bring up some of these other things that are still sitting there. But it's important for us as people who live in a society to understand what's happened to us. We sort of absorb it because we grew up in it. And yet there are these wounds that are there, and we've just touched on some of them today, that help us to understand what happened to us and how the society has shifted. I think when we understand how the society has shifted, we might all become people who help to shift it in another way. Okay, maybe not as it used to be exactly, but maybe to another place, that maybe we make other decisions in terms of our families, you know, risk getting married, maybe have more than our two perfect children. There are some, I mean, these are all risk factors, undoubtedly. But I think that for the good of us as well as the good of society, it's important for us to understand where the breaks are. When we see the breaks, we can begin to become instruments of healing. And I think that in a culture, our culture and other cultures, we desperately need people who are instruments of healing at this point, because the wounds are so deep. It's, you know, we sort of need this triage movement of people who can help with at least some piece of this, whether it's an abortion loss, you know, whether it's a divorce, whether it's this issue of daycare and the many losses. And so that's what I want to challenge your listeners to. We need to become the instruments of healing, and we need to have, if we need help to heal ourselves, at least understanding where the wound came from allows us to begin our own healing journey, and then we become instruments for others.
Right, and I think sometimes we just don't even recognize the trauma that we've experienced until someone like you starts talking about it. And,
well, I think that's absolutely true, yeah.
Right. We think, oh, well, that just happened, and I'm strong, so we're just going to get through this mm-hmm. without recognizing, okay, but how? How are you going to get through it? Are you just going to bury it somewhere deep in your body and, you know, suffer some sort of health trauma because of it? Because yeah. I think some of our mental issues really become physical issues.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, there's a book called Scared Sick, written by Robin Carr Moore, and it's the role of childhood trauma in adult disease. It's a very telling book in terms of those things that created stressors for us when we were little that then have long-term implications in terms of how our body works. And again, we don't think about those things.
Right. Right. We just like to suck it up and be strong.
Yeah.
But
and just keep moving. Yep.
Well, thank you so much, and we definitely do have to have you back, because as you said, you've barely scratched the surface, so we want to continue with this. Thank you so much, Vicki.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity, Deanna.
Bye-bye.